You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott the King Angle, Corey the Fantasy Executive Parson, Tony Zicata, Greg Sussman, Michael Florio producing the program. Fantasy Best Friends Forever, the Biffles, come up next. Somebody, I always get excited seeing an email from you in my inbox over the weekend, or really any day, because it means you got something good you want to share. And I thought the point you actually brought up this weekend was a really good one that we haven't talked about yet. So let me go over to the FSTA draft, which we're still going over, and I want to talk about Ray Flowers' team. So we get to your point when we get to this player. Ray Flowers' team is where we begin today's program. Some little baseball preview for you. And we begin here, Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo, the first round pick, taken before Max Scherzer, before Bryce Harper, before Josh Donaldson. Scott, how do you feel about it?
I like Rizzo. You know, I was saying in my keeper slash dynasty league, he's going to be one of my two anchors. You know, there's some numbers I feel where people feel like maybe he hasn't kind of like reach the level where we want to, but I think, and you know, the speed is maybe not where last year where we wanted it to be, because 2 years ago I think maybe what we saw was an outlier. But it's really hard to argue with the consistent high level production that you're going to see, because he's improved as a hitter pretty much fundamentally each of the last few seasons. I just think that some fantasy analysts might believe that there's enough upside there, but how can you just argue with what's going to be such very reliable production? Personally, I'd rather have Josh Donaldson for a little more power, but I don't think I could make a vehement argument against it.
Corey, what about you, man?
I don't have a problem with the draft pick, obviously. Anthony Rizzo, he's up here for a reason, one of the top players, power-producing position right here. Decent way to start your team. I would have, obviously, a guy like Bryce Harper would have been my go-to in this situation. No issues with Rizzo.
All right, Tom.
I think in the first round, more than any other round, mm-hmm. you can go with personal preference.
Okay.
So if you're
That's
an Anthony Rizzo guy, if you go with, because you know the numbers you're going to get, because those guys have the greatest predictability. So if you feel comfortable going with a guy because you had him on your teams in the past or you're a fan of that team, I think the first round's actually the round to do it compared to any other round.
That's a good point.
Because we can sit here and argue about the semantics of Josh Donaldson.
Yep.
And they're both good picks.
Yep, I think it's a good point.
Yeah.
It's all so close anyway. I totally agree with that. On the other side, Ray Flowers takes Carlos Correa, who I know we had a large debate about last year on the Roto Experts program, where does he deserve to be a first-round pick? We went back and forth. And Correa, one of these shortstops with Lindor and with Seager that has his ability. He's a middle infielder, Tony. We do want to see him run more. What do you think of the pick here?
I like the pick, especially when you get a guy the year after he disappointed in being such a
yes,
young player.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about a 22-year-old kid, right? And you look at last year, and he hits 20 home runs, steals 13 bases, hits .274. Those are nothing to sneeze about. So if he gets a little better there, or even the same, he pays off the second-round pick. But I only see upside here.
Yeah, I like him. I think last season, the K, he was striking out over 20%. That's obviously something that'll come with age, the immaturity. He'll get.
But today's baseball, That's actually better than a lot of the players being picked around that time.
Yeah, what do we say?
I mean, we had
almost 27% the other day.
Yeah, well, Adam Dunn is a big, he strikes out. You know what I'm saying? But you want him at this position to make more contact. He should progress into a 2020 guy. You know what I'm saying? Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
That should be his MO moving forward.
His strikeout rate though for over his career is 18%.
But why did he only last year it was 21.
I'm saying no. That I'm taking it into the minors into account. So I don't think it's going to vary too much from what you see. But like Tony said, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Here's the thing. Corey
Seager,
right?
Go ahead.
Corey Seager hit .308 last year. He struck out 19% of the time.
Yeah.
So it's pretty normal. Strikeouts are like become acceptable in baseball.
Mm. Oh, well. Okay. I'm cool with it.
It's crazy.
But what the people are not cool with is he only attempted to steal 17 bases last season.
Yeah,
and I think he's going to have to go up. Yeah, that's going to have to go up.
It's
he still should be a top three, really, shortstop for 2017.
Yeah, he could be 25-15. He could be 20-20, you know, depending on the variance of the stats.
Where's he going back in the lineup?
That's the problem with stealing bases. I think he hits third or fourth, right?
Yes.
And if he does, he's not going to ever steal 30 bases from the middle of the batting order.
Yeah.
It's a good point. It's a good point. So we probably shouldn't expect, I mean, maybe expect the rise a little bit here, but probably not significantly enough that you're, what would you write down, Tony, for this?
I would put, I put 23 home runs, 20 stolen bases, 275 batting average.
So interesting. You're putting 20, despite 13 last year, you're putting 20 here.
Yeah, I really think that in the second year, that ballpark, yeah, I think he explodes. I think this is a quality player here.
Okay.
Sounds like Tony's projections are a little conservative, too, based on that analysis.
Well, I wouldn't say they're
conservative. They can't. Yeah. No, they're conservative.
I don't think they're conservative.
I mean, how much upside are we seeing here for this kid, you know? Second-round pick, you know, and Steamer projections have him 278, 22, 14.
Right.
You know, is that a little conservative?
Is it totally projected for more in every category? How would you call him conservative?
He hit 22 his first year, so it's only one more home run.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't think what Tony's doing is conservative.
Is this a 25-25 kid?
I don't going up to 25 stolen bases this year.
Right.
Like that's my issue.
If he hit leadoff, I think he has the talent to do it. But the problem is when he's hitting third or fourth, he's not going to get the running opportunity.
Right, and that's my thing. Right? We've seen 14 stolen bases in 2015, 13 in 2016, despite playing the entire season. Like, I think you get the 20, you're lucky. I'm going to pencil him in probably for more like 17 stolen bases, maybe 18. I think 25 home runs is very, very legitimate. I think you're going to see about a 275 average for him. I think that's what it is. I look at Steamer's projections here.
What the hell is Steamer?
They look great to me. That's kind of what I would think.
Is Steamer a person?
No, we explained it to you the other day when we mentioned it.
It was the weekend. I'm sorry.
It was industry projections.
I wasn't thinking about it over the weekend.
You like Steamer?
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about Steamers over the weekend.
You probably were.
Greg, I'm into him. I'm into Carlos Correa, though.
Yeah.
I think he's a ball player.
Tony, I also saw you printed the list for the Granite Tree Tavern.
You did?
Yes.
Made the cut.
Did you?
Yeah, I made the cut.
You got a team?
I put unconfirmed.
I'm unconfirmed, yeah, until I find the partner, which I'm working on. I appreciate it, Tony.
I actually have a 14th person that is going to shake the whole league up, but I will announce that later on Facebook today.
Well, you can't break the news on your own radio show here?
I could, but you ready? Want to know?
Yeah, let's do it. Hold on. Let me. Can I get a drum roll of some sort, Florio, please, before we do this? You know, a little breaking news at 8:10 in the morning here. The 14th person in our little family league here, shaking up the world, says Tony Cincata. He's going to post it on Facebook.
I think I know who it is.
For us, he does it now. The Roto Experts in the morning. The 14th member of the Country Tavern League is...
our first female entrant. We are bringing in Andrea Lamont. And, of course, of all the people out there that know, Andrea Lamont, the girlfriend of the legend Lenny Melnick, will be in. Lenny himself, not in, but Andrea, who I guess is the better player, is going to come and defend.
Wait a minute. She's not
Lenny's
the first
honor.
Female entrant. We got Cardano. Ooh.
Oh
yeah. Jesus. So Andrea she wants to take on you. Some of the people in here.
Get the money up front.
Like
get the money up front.
That's cool. That's cool.
How good is that?
That's very cool.
Scott, what if you lost to her? Would you be upset about it?
No, because, you know, she knows her stuff.
You don't have any of the... You don't have, like, a thing against losing against a certain gender?
Why would I have something like that?
Oh, I just want to know. Some guys get crazy about that.
I'm not at all.
Like, I think our president would have a problem losing to a woman in a fantasy baseball league.
Oh, I'm certain he would.
Yeah.
She cheated.
There's evidence out there. She cheated.
Sad.
She was changing the scores from the back end. Her and Tony, that crook Tony Sincotta.
Sad.
So we have one remaining spot left. I've held that open for we have like hundreds of people that want to get in, but
yeah, I saw an industry guy was considering it too.
Yeah. Like, that's another. Some of these, Scott, I have to get the checks first because sometimes, you know, people on a whim, and then we can't have a 10 o'clock in the morning show up. So I wait till I get the money from these people.
Yeah.
Because everybody says they want to get in, Corey, until it comes time to pay.
So it's, people are historically flaky like that, though, especially in New York. Like, you say, oh, you want to do this? And be like, oh, yeah, it's great. Day comes, like, oh, I got other plans, you know.
No, so,
that's why you always get the money up front.
Yeah.
I might come hang out, but I won't be participating.
Really? You're out?
No.
Okay.
I think I'm doing I'm going to do a couple draft champions. Obviously, got the NFBC, which I'm going to go see Brian this weekend.
Have you considered partnering with Jerry Colvin?
No.
No?
No.
Will Jerry be in the house?
Jerry's not playing, yes. Jerry is one of the participants.
Oh, I wonder what you're saying to me.
Fireworks at the draft.
Oh, boy. Oh, in the face-to-face, it's always it's all love face-to-face. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
He's been saying on Twitter. He's
not a fan of mine on
just
Twitter.
Just doesn't trust people who don't play for a lot of money.
Who said that?
What happened?
Jerry.
Is that what he said to you personally?
No, he's saying on Facebook, not to me, that, you know, he puts way more stock in people who, like, you know, pay lots of amounts of money rather than experts in the industry who are not, like, you know, paying money, you know, to, like, be in you know, sort of high stakes leagues.
Well, I don't think the amount of money that one puts in
I agree too.
And don't be
because
on here.
I believe personally, you know, to one point about it is that, you know, there's the guy who like spends a lot of money maybe in a high stakes league, but if you're a paid expert, you're still making money off of fantasy.
Sure.
You're making your living off of fantasy, and if you're not good at what you say, you're not going to be making a living.
Scott, you know, certainly correct me if I'm wrong, and, you know, excuse me for calling you out here, right? Like, you were an FSWA Hall of Famer. You were in the Hall of Fame.
The inaugural class.
Inaugural class, fantasy sports writers. You did not participate in high-stakes league because you're, you know, for your...
I do.
You do.
I have played NFBC and FFC.
But you got free entries probably, Scott.
No, I've shared with people. I have gotten free entries in the past, but I've also paid for it.
Okay, because just from my knowledge...
I've split it with other people.
My knowledge of you, Scott, you don't generally play in these super-duper high-stakes leagues because, you know, your budget...
It's just not something I could do.
It's not something your budget allows.
Yeah.
Which I completely
understand.
That's the
thing
that
people don't get, right? Yeah, people don't get, like... you're in the fantasy sports industry. You're not making a ton of money. And so I could say it's a reasonable expectation that not everyone could play in some types of these leagues.
Absolutely. My intensity for playing doesn't wane because I don't put in $2,500.
I agree with that.
And the other thing is, even if I didn't, and say I was just a guy who came on here and talked, you know, to that point, I'm still making my money off of fantasy sports, even though I'm not doing it in the NFBC. So I have to work to make sure what I say is I present this myself the best that I can.
I completely agree with that.
You know, to say that I'm only going to listen to people who play in high stakes, you know, it's like there's high stakes another way if you're breaking into the business or you're in the business and you have a full-time job because, you know, everything rides on that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I completely agree with that.
Anybody know why Sage Steele is the number one trending topic in the United States?
What does that have to do with what
she's
talking
Fox
about?
Fox 2 now?
Maybe she's playing high stakes.
I'm a big fan of hers.
Yeah, I met her a couple of times. Yeah, I like her too.
So you're still a fan
after
meeting her?
Yes, I like her. She's very nice. Very, very nice. Let's take a break here. We're going to come back. We'll talk more baseball, including the man that Tony emailed me about. And two guys I find very interesting in 2017 for different reasons. Christian Yelich, J.D. Martinez. We talk to them next here at Roto Experts. Shields! certain biases of a player you like or you don't like or whatever. So one guy, for whatever reason, I just don't find myself liking ever, seemingly, is Christian Yelich. I cannot get behind Christian Yelich.
Well, that's a good thing, you know.
Well, I think so. Well, he was taken here in the third round of the FSTA draft, which was last week. And last year, Yelich had 21 homers, 98 ribbies. He got 9 stolen bases. He batted almost 300. The OBP, fantastic, at 376. Tony, you said it's a good thing. I don't like it. How come?
Yeah. This is a guy, when you look at today's Major League Baseball, where we have all these home runs flying out, and last year his home run total spikes to 21 home runs from 7.
Yes.
Right? And then you look at his ground ball rate over the last 3 years. He has the fourth most ground balls in all of baseball.
Okay.
That's a lucky number. That ain't going to repeat itself. And I would be shocked if he hit 15 home runs.
Yeah, like we saw the 21 last year. And I remember interviewing Yelich and talking to people around the Marlins about Yelich, especially with Bonds there. Like, and, you know, he told me, I'm not going to change my profile. I'm successful as I am. You know, other people around the team were saying it. Then we saw a career low ground ball rate. And what's interesting is he started pulling the ball more, too. His pull percentage was the highest of his career. And his hard hit percentage was also the highest of his career, of 38%. Is that sustainable? 3 out of 4 years say no, that the 21 homers was an outlier.
I look at that home run to fly ball ratio last year, which 16% his rookie year, then 11.5%, then 12.5%. Last year, it doubled. 23
the fly ball rate went up 5%.
23.6% home run to fly ball ratios. Not only did the fly ball rate go up, as you mentioned, Scotty, but the home run to fly ball ratio was insane compared to his career norm. Like, to me, these home runs are absolutely going to go down, and Tony's right. If he gets, let's say, 15, I mean, that's going to be good for him. To think he's going to get 21 again is crazy to me.
Here's what I want to ask, and not as a devil's advocate or saying this is going to happen. You look at those kind of numbers, pulling the ball more, hitting it harder, etc.
Right.
Has he slightly changed his approach?
There's that one other thing that you could say that's a positive to him. He's still only 25.
Right.
So that's the other thing that I look at. But with the home run to fly ball ratio, the pulling the ball, I just don't believe it going in this one. And you talked about Scott, his comments about how he's not changing his game. Those were out there for everyone. He had a bat at balls to play at 356 last year, but he had 370 even the years before. He's a guy that's fast, so that number's going to be high. You can throw that one out the window. I just, with all those ground balls, if he goes back and hits even 10 to 15 more ground balls, he's going to be back to where he was before.
Yeah, you could see a regression. We could be looking at a 15-15 guy right here, maybe.
We could. We could. Yeah.
With a 300 batting average.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though.
Yes.
If you're in a league where you start, like NFBC rules, where you start 5 outfielders,
right?
Is he an OF1 in a 15-team league?
I don't want him as an OF1.
Nope. I don't.
No.
You got to get a guy that's going to hit you 20 home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, we had 111 people do it last year. If you don't get one, it hits 15 home. You better steal 30 bases.
Would you not do either?
Yeah.
Stanton won 2 picks after Yelich.
See, I'd much rather have Stanton than Christian Yelich.
If you're talking power, obviously. Yeah.
But give me the power, like, right? For an outfielder in the third round, I want the guy with the power of Giancarlo Stanton 2 picks later, right? Like
Yelich is going to give me the durability, but still, there's not the upside.
Right.
And he's still going to hit, and Stanton's still going to hit 270. It's not like you get
right. Yeah, he's going to bat 215 theoretically.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, Scott, would you agree that you'd much rather have Stanton 2 picks later?
I can't take Christian Yelich at that point in the third round.
Right,
I just can't. I would go Stanton. I'd close my eyes, cross my finger, and go with Stanton if one of the two.
I wonder what Ray's is it roster construction? I'm trying to think why.
You know what's crazy about Giancarlo Stanton? His strikeout percentage is just insane. He strikes out 30% of the time.
But you can strike out when you hit 40 bombs, though. You know what I'm saying?
Giancarlo Stanton has never hit 40 bombs.
Well, that's because he never stays on the
field.
That's right.
If we projected it
over a full scale of
But that's what I'm saying about the strikeouts thing, right? Is that it's so crazy what's going on in Major League Baseball as far as strikeouts and guys don't try to make contact.
Right.
Chris Davis, 32%. Chris Cotta, 32%. Mike Napoli, who had 34 home runs last year, right? Struck out 30% of the time. Alex Gordon, who you don't even know is a strikeout guy, struck out 29% of the time. I mean, there's numbers that are just so alarming. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So Giancarlo Stanton, for most of us, seemingly like him a little bit better than Christian Yelich here. We continue to the draft. One other guy, it was so Stanton was taking two picks before Yelich, interestingly enough. Two picks before Yelich, Scotty.
Yeah.
The guy that was picked after Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, would you rather have him, Tony, or would you rather have Yelich?
I would probably go on the corner of Ryan Braun. Now, 33 years of age is a little scary here, but he still continues. He's a guy that plays through injuries no matter what. We know in the past he had a little help. But last year we thought it was clean, right? And he had 30 home runs, 16 stolen bases, and a .305 batting average. Like, the average is always going to be there. I think this guy, because of that whole steroid thing, that people don't realize how good he is anymore. They forget.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting numbers at like a deeper position. Obviously, if you look at the Steamer projections, like they're comparable to Korea. It's like 280, 24 home runs, and a dozen steals. You know, you could easily be talking 280, 25, 15 here. You know, and he had 30 last year. I'd rather have Braun. In a yearly league, yes.
Corey?
Ryan Braun. I think it's pretty simple because you want that little bit of power that you can trust for Ryan Braun, whereas Yelich is a guy. People tend to think, okay, the power is going to come. And is it?
It was there last year, but that's what he's going to top out as, 20 if he does that again. You realistically expecting about 14 to 15.
You ever holler at him when you go to the ballpark?
Who?
Christian Yelich.
I just mentioned that.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I was,
you were watching Stage Steel.
I was reading about Steel. Mm-hmm. How is he? He's a cool cat.
He's a quiet guy, but once you get to know him, he loves fantasy football. He's like the defending champ of the Marlins Clubhouse League.
He can't beat me, though.
The fourth round pick of Ray Flowers is what really interests me, because this is a guy that I was on a couple of years ago. I was on last year again. And I like him, and I think he's a free agent after this year, I think. And I know there's a lot of rumors that he would be traded, and he was not. And that's J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez, he's got legitimate power to hit over 20 home runs, right? To hit at least 25 home runs. I know he was injured for a lot of last year. He's got the ability to get a lot of RBIs. Doesn't run anymore. The average is good enough. I like J.D. Martinez. I'm in on J.D. Martinez again, Corey.
Yeah, and I am too. I think the home runs get back up over 30 this year. I mean, you can see that the guy's got, he has good discipline at the plate, even though he K's. The walks are still there. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring you a solid batting average. He's going to hit for power. Mm-hmm. Everything is good.
But?
It's not really a problem with the player. Shouldn't J.D. Martinez been the third-round pick and Yelich's been the fourth-round pick?
Makes more sense to me.
Yeah,
you
okay.
can say that. I was thinking the same thing.
The big difference, though, is that stolen bases are down and home runs are up.
Okay.
So people go into the drafts this year.
Premium on the steals.
They're devaluing power and upgrading steals. So that's the difference between those two picks.
I mean, you're talking about a guy here like 275, 25 homers. I agree. I would have picked
Martinez first. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about 275, maybe 27 homers here. So,
yeah.
You know, you want the power and you're going to pass on the speed. Like Tony said, you know, Ray was thinking speed, you know, maybe 2020, Sonic 2015, 2020 sort of guy. Whereas here with Martinez, you don't get any speed. But let's not forget, you know, in 2015, you know, these guys had more plate appearances. He hit 38 homers. This guy could hit 30 homers.
Yeah.
And if he gets traded, because he is in a contract year, if Detroit would fall out, that would only be a bonus, because that Detroit ballpark, very pitcher-friendly.
Yeah. Steamer has him 275, 26, 79. I think that's a little bit conservative.
He's a little bit conservative.
Really? Yeah.
So you're in on this guy?
Yeah. I can see 280, 29.
All right. Fair enough. Let's get to the fifth round pick, because Tony, you emailed me about him, and I'm really interested to talk about that. And that's John Lester. So John Lester last year helps Cubs win a World Series. He was taken after his teammate Jake Arrieta, taken after Johnny Cueto, taken after David Price, after Yu Darvish. And then you get to Johnny Lester, who was taken before Chris Archer, before Carlos Carrasco. Lester is the ace of Ray Flowers' staff. Lester has his own issues, very particular in certain things, as we saw in Game 7. But one of these particularities no longer applies. Tony, why don't you explain?
Yeah, so John Lester is one of those guys that has a personal catcher. It's been David Ross throughout the years. David Ross is retired now in management for the Chicago Cubs. It is actually a big sample size of data involving David Ross. David Ross is caught for John Lester for 578 innings, which is a huge number when you think about it. That's 3 years of pitching. And basically, he has an ERA of 2.75 with David Ross as a catcher, so under three with Ross as a catcher. Then he has 1,425 innings without David Ross as a catcher. He has a 3.71 ERA, so a run difference without Ross behind the plate. Now, when you're familiar with someone, you get changes. You get changes in your routine as a ball player. That has to affect you. Now we're talking about a 33-year-old pitcher. I would pencil him in somewhere 3.34 for an ERA this year. And this will be something interesting to watch with Lester and not having Ross behind the plate. And usually when we have statistics like this, it's a small data, a small sample size. This is 2,000 innings of data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's something to be said there, and it's interesting what Tony brings up, because when I go out to the park, I want to ask some people, not necessarily with the Cubs, like how it would affect a pitcher. I think it's an interesting point. And then you look at some of the advanced metrics, and it's pointing to regression anyway. He was 19-5 last year with a 2.44 ERA, but the FIP was 3.41, and the xFIP was 3.47. The strikeout rate was down, and the strand rate was like the highest of his major league career at 84.9%. So I think there's some natural regression there anyway. Steamer has him at 14-9 with a 3.34 ERA and 8.89 K per
nine. So they built in the fact that Ross not going to be there already, almost giving him a point on the ERA.
I don't know if they looked at Ross necessarily like Tony did, but I think they're especially they're looking for regression based on some of those advanced metrics that I mentioned.
The 85% the 85% strand rate is crazy when you think about that, and that's certainly not something that's going to happen again. That's a little crazy. But go years past 71, 76, 73.
Is he an ace? Is he a fantasy ace, John Lester?
Ray Flowers is counting on it.
If you have a really good offense, I think you can get away with it. Especially you can't chase wins, as they say, right? But that team's going to win 100 games.
Yeah, 100 games, good defense around them.
But I'm worried, as we just heard from Tony, I'm worried about that ERA. I'm worried about that point, essentially, on the ERA from John Lester and him trying to figure it out with, like, who is their backup? Is Miguel Montero their backup catcher still?
Yeah, he's the backup.
Right, because Wilson Contreras is going to start. Yes, Scott.
I can't believe Montero would be his guy, though. He's not very good defensively.
Well, by the way,
I don't think Contreras should be this guy either.
Well,
I don't think he
might make
Swarba
his catcher.
I don't think he wants to throw to a young guy.
He doesn't want 40 pass balls. By the way, Ray took 3 Cubs in his first 7 picks.
He's a
Giants fan.
No. I don't know if you know, like, if you have a pitch before and a catcher, there's nothing worse than being on the mound and having a catcher that can't catch.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Now, at the major league level, that's not going to happen. Like, you would have made it that far if you couldn't catch. So that won't happen, but I could see how when guys get, everybody's a creature of habit. You get the same guy back there, it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, you know, a lot of pitchers have had personal catchers over the years. I think when Roger Clemens was with the Red Sox and Dave Valley was with the Red Sox, he preferred Valley.
Okay, that's interesting.
I mean, listen, if you want to have your own catcher, I'm cool with that too.
I'm not cool with that. I think it's
why
BS,
not?
Honestly.
Come on, Greg. Why do you think that's BS?
That John Lester I go back.
Needs his own catcher.
Game 7 of the World Series, they have to waste a guy. I have to carry 3 catchers on the roster and waste a spot on a guy that was playing well for John Lester for to pitch 1 inning. Okay, thank you. When we come back, Anthony Rendon, Javier Baez, 2 middle-inch infield options.
Well,
yes.
Hold on. Yeah. The whole thing there, you get a roster spot, right?
Yeah.
Roster spot.
Yeah.
What about the closer mentality? Like, we have to have that for a one-inning guy. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into this one inning, right?
I was talking to somebody about that over the weekend, closer mentality. And they was like, it's a thing. That is really a thing. That is really
the
thing.
If I Google Loch Ness Monster, that's a thing, too.
Yeah, those two things are on par with each other for sure, yeah. Yeah.
Just saying, Scott. Facts are facts.
You can't quantify it. You don't believe it. Some fantasy analysts are like...
Oh, fantasy. We're realism experts.
If it's not numerical, I guess you don't believe it.
It doesn't exist.
Okay, that's your opinion.
All right, Greg. I had to forget. I had to get the I had to get that in there.
No
the closer mentality.
I understand.
It's only 3 days old, but
yes.
It was very hot topic on Friday.
It was very hot.
Spanking
topic.
Spanking was a hot topic about an hour ago.
All right,
ago.
Scott. We gotta. You're not understanding here.
You know, Scott has brought that up 3 times. Scott's brought that up 3 times. Are you deficient in something, Scott? You want to talk about it?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I need to be spanked.
Oh my god.
Come on. Please cut that, Florio.
Please
grab that, please.
We don't want to hear that again.
Yeah. You got it.
Thank you. Let's take a break. Let's take
you
a
say
break.
You got it. You got it. I'm getting spanked. Or
dude, Scott, seriously. Let's take a break. I want to come back. I want to talk some middle infield options. Anthony Rendon, Javier Baez. What we think of these guys next on the Roto Experts. Anthony Rendon was somebody that. I drafted last year, Scotty. Remember, I wanted to drop him like 45 times, and I did it. I wound up holding on to him all year long.
You asked me, and I told you I would have held on to Rendon.
You did say that, and I listened to you.
I'm a Rendon guy.
I listened to you. You said, and I was like, listen, this guy is bad. He's just wait till June. I'm like, June? That's 2 months. You go, just wait. And I listened to you on this, and Rendon had a really nice season. He batted 20 home runs. He had 12 stolen bases. Batted 270, 348 OBP. BABIP was a little down. Anthony Rendon, once again, a solid middle infield option for it.
Yeah.
Last year. Now he's third base option.
I've been a fan of this guy. I thought we saw the real Rendon in 2014. You saw similar totals last year. Steamer this year has him 276, 18, and 9. I think, you know, he could steal double figures again. To me, you know, this is a young hitter. He's 26 now. He's a little older, but I always believe when he was young, he was one of the better young hitters in the game. He just couldn't stay healthy. To me, a healthy Anthony Rendon will give you a solid 275, 18 home runs, maybe a dozen steals if I'm being a little conservative about it.
Tony, you liking Anthony Rendon?
Yeah. The only problem I have with him... Mm-hmm. In today's baseball, he's a little light on the power for what we perceive as a power position at third base. Mm-hmm. So, if you as long as you can make up that power somewhere else. So, if you took a Jonathan Scope at second base and you got 27 home runs from second base, which most people don't get, this guy's the perfect complement to that, right? Because you get a good batting average, you get 10 stolen bases at third base. So, I think you just got to be careful of your roster construction because a lot of people look at third base for power.
Yeah, and roster construction is premium when you draft Rendon because you're not going to get the big 30 bombs out of your third base position. But if if he's hitting behind Harper, right?
Right.
He should have a good chance for some RBIs and stuff like that.
I don't know that he's hitting directly behind Harper, though.
I think he might be hitting right in front of him, too.
Yeah,
I think
in front
there's
of him,
a chance
okay.
He could hit. He could hit number 2 in that lineup. Like, Adam Eaton will bat leadoff.
Right.
I, depending on what they do with Worth, will bat second or Rendon, in my opinion. Or Trey Turner.
Yeah,
Trey Turner there, yeah.
I would think Trey Turner would be second, right?
Yep.
You have two guys that run up top. It would be interesting if they go with both those guys there.
The kind of what you were saying, Tony. So Anthony Rendon last year, at least in my league, was both second base and third base eligible. I really liked him a lot as a second baseman. As a third baseman, I'm a little less interested.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is the thing. But you can make, like I said, you can make up for that if you look at it, you know, your outfield, if your outfield's strong or if you're there. So you go in, he certainly is going to hurt you, and it's going to help with those 10 stolen bases. But, like, I picked in my draft, I actually picked Nolan Arenado in the first round of my NFC draft.
Right.
And then I got to a point later in the draft where Mikel Franco was still there, and it's a guy that I like. I got him in the ninth round of a 15-team league. I think he can hit 30 home runs. So I'm like, in the ninth round, I'm getting a guy that can hit 30 home runs.
Anthony Rendon was, like I said, a second baseman last year for me, and I like him a lot better there, but third base. But some of the
guys going to have dual this year. He's just going to be one, right?
I think he's just going to be third base eligible. Yeah. One guy that will have second base eligibility, who I want to know, Scott, if you didn't go get the playoff boost. That's Javier Baez, right? Javier Baez became a quote unquote star in the playoffs last year. But I'm wondering, number one, is he going to play every day with Kyle Schwarber back? And number two, what we think. Javier Baez, Scotty, can he build on his playoff momentum?
You know, we've been hearing about Baez for so many years with the potential, you know, but now everything's coming together for the Cubs just like they wanted to in terms of these young guys coming together. Steamer this year has him 259, 17 home runs and 10 stolen bases. You know, I might scale back on the homers about, you know, one or two, but, you know, this guy can be 15-15. You know, he's always struck out a ton, but I feel like they have to find a way to get his bat in the lineup somehow.
Yeah, so I like this guy a lot. He went in the eighth round, and I regretted not picking him in the NFBC draft that I'm doing. And he's eligible, I believe, at dual positions, depending on what kind of league you play in. Last year, he played in the field. He played 59 games at second base, makes him eligible there, 62 at third base, and 25 at shortstop. So he should be eligible at all three positions for you, and that equates to some value because it's almost like an extra bench spot. I really like this kid. I think he hits 25 home runs this season. I think he plays every day.
Really?
If he plays every day, he could. And the plate discipline is key. But if he plays every day to get the plate discipline together, young player, then he's a 2020 guy.
But where is
I don't
he
think
playing,
he's ever
going to
be a plate discipline kind of guy, but there's just so much natural talent there.
Where is he playing every day is my question to you guys.
I think he'll start at second base, but I think he'll play shortstop, he'll play third base, and hell, he's even played some outfield if he had to. But I think he stays in that lineup consistently. But he'll be the starting second baseman, but he'll play all three positions, and fantasy-wise, he's already eligible at all three.
Right, he's eligible pretty much everywhere, that's right. And
yeah.
I'm just looking. This team, how it's constructed, can they play, you know, what would seem to make the most sense to me is you play, like, Hayward in center and just put this guy in right? Like wouldn't that make sense? Hayward plays center?
I don't think they like him defensively, and if then if you put Schwarber out there and you put the two of them out there, you're really asking for trouble.
I'm looking at their roster. They got a lot of people.
Yeah.
All of these dudes are good, too. Yeah.
They should petition to move over to the American League. Like, they have Ben Zobrist, right? A lot of people look at second base. Ben Zobrist, to me, would be the guy that's going to move to the outfield.
Right.
And play like a Jason Hayward there. Ben Zobrist played a lot of years in right field in Tampa, and he would be the guy there. They got to find a way. Baez is too good that they got to get this guy to get bats.
I'm about to see what roster resource has.
Baez is also an ascending player. I don't want to say Zobrist is descending because he's been good. Obviously, signed the big money contract last year. But to me, like the clear weaknesses in center field with John Jay and Albert Almora, those guys are okay. Mm-hmm. But that's a clear weakness. Like, don't you want your best nine guys in the lineup? And Baez is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes no sense to me. That's why I believe that somehow Ben Zobrist is going to end up in right field for the Chicago Cubs.
The reason, so Baez went in the seventh round here. You said in your draft he went in the eighth round, Tony?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
in a 15-team league, which that one's 13.
Right. So, you know, all rounders are different, but we don't, like we said, we don't really have a problem with you going out and getting your guy. That's fine. I need more clarity on the situation, I think, when it comes to Javier Baez.
Right, and I think that's why he's lasting so long.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that hit 14 home runs and 421 at-bats. We're talking about a guy that's 12 stolen bases. I mean, there's a legitimate shot at going 20-20 if he could play every day.
Sure.
Yet he's going in the eighth round because you don't know if he's going to. It's not guaranteed that he's going to play every day. But I just look at the talent, think the talent wins out at this kid. It doesn't make sense at 24 years of age to sit this kid on the bench and have him watch someone play. He'd be better off playing the minors.
Roster resources not have him in the lineup.
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking at that too?
No, I didn't think they would, in all honesty. So after John Lester, Ray Flowers does not take a pitcher until he selects Julio Teheran, which comes in the eighth round. Teheran, for the Braves last year, he went 7-10, had an ERA of 3.21, winds up striking out 167 batters. He is the Braves' best starter, I would say. What do you think, Scott Engel, of Julio Teheran?
I was saying you're the Braves' best starter. Well, that's, you know, that's not huge, obviously. You know, the ERA was 3.21. The FIP was 3.69. You know, he doesn't strike out a ton of guys. It'll be, you know, about 8 a game. But this is a guy, obviously you can't chase wins. I think the Braves are going to be a little bit better. But Steamer only has him for, like, you know, 10 wins, 11 losses, you know, 4.00 ERA. So to me, you know, this guy is like, okay, overall I'm hoping he doesn't hurt me, which he probably won't. But I feel like he's not going to elevate my team a whole lot.
What about you, Corey?
Stock is rising. Three out of the last season, throughout the last four seasons, look like they're starting to put the numbers together. He's going to have to get better against left-handed bats. They seem to cause a little bit of trouble for him.
Yep.
But if he can get that under control, I think, you know, he's a ERA in the low threes, 180K guy. You know what I'm saying? You can't chase wins, so can't really speak to that. So I think he's a SP2.
Which is where Ray Flowers has him.
Oh, yeah. I'll be uncomfortable with him as a two.
Me too.
But it can work. Like, it's not against it. The one problem he's had, Corey nailed the whole left hand, is they crush him. And he has problems keeping the ball in the ballpark. And other than that, right, he's I think you always protect the whip, and then you'll have a good pitching staff and never have a guy with a huge whip. 1.05, 1.08, 1.17, 3 out of the 4 years. He had that poor year in 2015. I think it's a serviceable pitch. I don't think it's going to do anything to excite me. But in the ninth round, not a bad pick.
Yeah, serviceable is definitely
the good word for it.
To describe
I agree.
Him. If I have my number two, though, I think I'm constantly looking to make a trade.
Same. I knew Julio Teheran as my number three, not my number two. We'll take the break
my
here.
My NFBC. I have Jacob DeGrom as my third pitcher.
Ooh, that's good.
What are your first two?
Yeah. Kluber and Archer.
I want to hear what this team is. How many rounds you into it?
19.
Hey, you know who sent me a text the other day? Andy Saxton sent me a text the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Did he get in touch with you?
So he, for all the people out there, Andy Saxton runs the auctions for the NFBC. If you ever want to get in an auction, get a hold of me or the Fantasy Exec will get you in one.
Yep.
They generally start about $150. They go $250 in some of these auctions. And
online.
You can participate.
These are the online ones.
And,
get you practice for the big ones, the big live ones. Oh, my back. Sorry, I was stretching.
Susmany, what's wrong with that guy?
You know what? I asked that about everyone's end of this table. One guy's about his back. One person
wants to
about...
be spanked.
I don't know what's going on.
That has gotten odd. Yeah, it's gotten odd that he's brought it up so many times.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to break. Let's come back. Let's talk about who you guys want to talk about on this
team.
I want
to hear about Tony's team.
Yeah, Tony's team. Well, I think we should spend a whole day on Tony's team. I want to rush through Tony's team.
Okay.
You know what? We can do Tony's team next hour. How's that?
All right, that's cool.
We'll do Tony's team in the 9 o'clock hour. So when we come back, we'll talk about some more players here for Ray Flowers' team. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back! Hanging out on a Monday morning.
Doing what we do.
Corey, what do you think of Marcus Stroman this year? The Toronto Blue Jays starting pitcher.
Marcus Stroman. Did he, you have to excuse me. Did he ever get back on the field last year after he tore his ACL early?
That was two years ago.
That was 2 years ago. All right. Well, there you go right there. So he did pitch last year.
He did get back on the field last year, yeah.
ERA was over 4. I see that, 9-10 last season. Now, the thing with Stroman is he's a guy that people are looking to finally start to put all the pieces together. ERA was kind of high in the first half of the season, but it still didn't drop down enough. He has not a talent, but I think I want to wait another season on him. I know Ronis is a big Stroman guy, but I haven't seen it yet. So I think I want to reserve Marcus Stroman and go for a better known talent. But I think he gives you an ERA in the high threes, and you might be able to get double-digit wins out of him with about 170 strikeouts. What's his steamer projections. Steamer projections.
11-9 with a 3.69 ERA, 7.37 Ks per nine. That's the one thing
that's
about...
That's what I said.
That's the one thing...
I work for Streamer.
With Steamer.
unless
you want to create your own Streamer projection. Yeah, that's the thing about Stroman, though. It's like... He doesn't strike out a lot of people. Every once in a while, he will be prone to a big blow-up performance. And I've owned him before, so I know this.
What do you think about him, Greg?
About me? I think we want Marcus Stroman to be better than he is, right? Like, yeah. I think we want him to be this Cy Young Award candidate, this ace for Toronto. But playing the AL East... just a bad spot for him. I think he's prone to some big games. He's prone to some bad games. There's some guys that went around here that I probably like a little bit more than Marcus Stroman. Right? I think I like Michael Fulmer more. I think I like Jameson Taillon more. I think I like Alex Reyes more.
I think I'm with you on all of those plays. But listen to this, though. First of all, you don't like him because he's a Duke guy. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. And second, but what do you think of this? He's going to be pitching in the WBC. Do you think that helps him?
No.
No, you think coming into the season already fresh, ready to go?
No.
He's been varying his pitch selection, too. It's like went more to the fastball last year, you know, is going a little less to the slider and a little more to the cutter and less to the curve.
Stroman's a lot better major league pitcher than he is a fantasy pitcher. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, that strikeout totals hinders you. And the steamer projections are not good on this guy, actually. And here's the reason I'll cite that out, is that his whole key to success is keeping the ball on the ground. And his ground ball rates in 2015, when he had a 1.67 ERA, was 64% ground balls. And then in 2016, it went to 60, and his ERA jumped up to 4.37. He was a little unlucky there. They predict his ERA will go down, but they have his ground ball rate only at 55%. If it's at 55%, he's in trouble.
Yeah, especially if he's prone to the big innings. Well, yes. Man, I don't know. You, what do you think about him getting around other dudes in the WBC of a starting pitchers and, you know, working? I don't know. I think the WBC may help him.
No, I hate these pitchers that, like, are throwing way too hard before they're ready to go. Not too hard, but, like...
By the way, for Corey's edification, I have exactly what steamer projections are.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
Now, and this says until now, people thought via Corey Parson that steamer projections were projections that were just a big steaming pile of crap. But actually, it's a projection system that was created and maintained and operated by Jared Cross, Dash Davidson, and Peter Rosenblum. Dash and Peter just graduated from college. The project began in fall of 2008 at St. Anne's School in Brooklyn.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Endorsed by Fangraphs and
Don't
Rasball.
Don't ask me why.
Fangraphs uses it, Rasball uses it, and who else uses it?
Fangraphs and Rasball. They update daily throughout the season. Jared Cross is a science and math, was a math major. He writes for ESPN and the Hardball Times.
He must have real thick glasses.
Actually, he doesn't have any thick glasses. He doesn't have any glasses at all.
It's a nerd joke. Yeah. They should get Florio down with them.
Unlike you, he's interested in substance and not image.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm interested in image. And
guy who's always on his phone and his computer is not a nerd.
Okay. I'm interested in image and keeping his pockets full and some other things empty. There you go.
You're the biggest geek that I know.
Since you want to talk
trash. You're always on an electronic device.
Since you always want to talk trash. Florio, you should get down with the steamer crew.
I mean, I don't
He's
know.
Calling
if they,
you a
if
nerd, Florio.
Me.
No, I'm not calling Florio a nerd. I'm not saying that. They young fellas like Florio. They should have hollered at him.
Tony, do you agree that you would take Fulmer, Reyes, and Tyon ahead of Marcus Stroman?
Yeah, the only problem with Reyes is he's not guaranteed a rotation spot, but the upside's huge. I would definitely take a shot.
All right, there you go. We'll come back. I want to hear about Tony's team. We'll do that next. You're the experts.